We're going to start a new series today, and the series is called That I May Know Him. Paul said this in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, and being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. Paul, of all of the things in life he wanted to do, he wanted to know Jesus better. That's what I want to do. I want to know Jesus better. And so we're going to start a series on how do we know Jesus. And actually we're going to look at just passages of Scripture. What did Jesus say and what did he do? What did he say? What did he do? Because if we can see what Jesus said and see what he did, then perhaps we can know him better. There's nothing in life that you will receive that will excite you and that will fill you with joy more than knowing Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. And not only that, but beginning to know him in a more personal way throughout your life. So with that, I want us to turn to Luke chapter 2, verses 40 through 52. Luke 2, verses 40 through 52. I'm going to perhaps do this in a chronological way. Jesus was 12 years old when this took place in his life. So, let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. It says, his parents went to Jerusalem. I'm talking about Jesus' parents, Joseph and Mary. Went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph, his mother, did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. And now so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. And he said to them, why do you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he came, went down with them, and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Father, I come before you today, and Lord, just ask that your blessings be upon the reading of this word. And God, I pray that we would be able to open our hearts to what you have to share with us today. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So Jesus was 12 years old. He went to the Passover, which is actually, Jews will be celebrating that this week. I'm sorry, celebrated that just before Easter. Next week is Pentecost Sunday. Okay? And so they were celebrating that just before what we call Easter. And Jesus was there at the temple with his parents. He got left behind. I left my son behind one time at church, and that was not good. But was it, darling? No, it was not good. So it could have been that Joseph was blaming Mary and Mary was blaming Joseph, but it wasn't my fault. But he got left behind. And so they were frantically searching for him. His friends had gone they were all headed home, so they looked along with the friends. They looked with family, cousins and neighbors, and Jesus wasn't there, so they returned to Jerusalem. That would have been a scary time. What happened to Jesus? Jesus got lost. And they didn't know where to find him. And so he returned to Jerusalem and they found Jesus speaking with the rabbis, the teachers, the instructors of that day. And the teachers were amazed at the discussions that Jesus was having with them. Now, I want you to understand a little bit about Jewish life as a boy and a girl. And I've taken an excerpt from Ray Vanderlam, who has done extensive research in study in regards to Jewish traditions. And he wrote this article entitled Rabbi and Talmidim Rites. So synagogues, which is kind of like a church for the Jews, were associated with the local schools in Galilee. And apparently, each community would hire a teacher, respectfully called rabbi, for the school. And the teacher was responsible only for the education. He had nothing to do with the synagogue itself, oversight, or anything. His specific job was to teach. And so children began their study at age 4 to 5. The teaching focused primarily on the Torah. Do you know what the Torah is? It's the first 5 books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Large portions were memorized, and it is likely that many students knew the entire Torah by memory by the time they reached 12 or 13 years old. It's at this point that a boy would participate in his first Passover in Jerusalem, a ceremony that probably forms the background of today's bar mitzvah and Orthodox Jewish practices. Jesus' excellent questions for the teachers in the temple at the first Passover indicate the study he had done, and so memory was enhanced through these children by singing. Have you ever learned a passage of Scripture just by singing that passage? Well, they had a chant or a song for the entire first 5 books of the Bible. And so every day they would come to school and they would start chanting or singing a portion of Scripture. And by the time they reached 12 years old, some of them, not all of them, but some of them would have memorized the entire Torah. Now, Scripture doesn't say Jesus memorized that, but I'm sure he was an exceptional student, okay? I'm sure he was, and I'm sure he fell into that category. Galilee was a place of intensive study of Scripture. People were knowledgeable about its content and the various applications made by their tradition. They were determined to live by it and to pass their faith and knowledge and lifestyle on to their children. And this is the world that Jesus grew up in as a child and eventually became a rabbi. So I was curious as to if anyone had ever memorized the New Testament. So I went online. And there were actually several people that mentioned online that had memorized the entire New Testament. Have you ever heard of a book called 10 Peas in a Pod? Okay. So there was this family called the Pent family. And the Pent family were homeschooled. And they traveled, I think this was probably in the early, about 40s. They traveled over the United States doing evangelism. And so there was 8 children and mom and dad, and they were in these small cars. And Arnold Pent, the dad, wrote the book 10 Peas in a Pod because of the way they traveled. And it's a story of faith. I saw that online, and I think, man, I got to get that book. That looks like an excellent book. Talks about them living by faith and sharing Christ. I mean, they would just travel. And share Christ with people throughout the United States. I found a fellow whose name is Jack Van Impe. Have you ever heard of Jack Van Impe? He supposedly has memorized the entire Bible. From Genesis to Revelation. I haven't memorized the entire Bible. I haven't memorized the New Testament. I have memorized books of the Bible, or a book of the Bible. I've memorized other passages of Scripture. Jack Van Impe says the best way to do it is do it by topic. And you learn by topic. So you can go online and find out his way of memorizing Scripture. So one of the things that you need to be aware of is Jesus knew Scripture. Okay? Jesus knew the Bible. He knew it backwards and forwards. The second thing is that Jesus believed the Bible. Okay? At 12 years old, he believed the Bible. Now, you need to understand that Jesus was just like you and I. Okay? He put aside his Godship when he came here to heaven. Came here to earth. When he left heaven, he left his Godship in heaven and came here to earth. And so he really didn't have a head start on us, except that he did not have sin in his life. Okay? Probably he didn't have video games, television, those kind of things to distract him from memorizing Scripture. And I think that, you know, that's been a part of our society, that we have to be very careful that we don't get so caught up in worldly things that we neglect the greater things. So Jesus believed the Bible. He believed the story of Jonah. You know, there are some theologians who say Jonah is not supposed to be in the Bible, that's not accurate and that's not real. Some people say that the creation was caused by evolution. I'm sorry, that this world evolved through a series called evolution. And we, of course, know that it's the Lord himself who created the heavens and the earth. Jesus believed in the Proverbs. He believed in the Psalms. He quoted some of those throughout his ministry here on earth. So he believed the Bible. Okay? And I want to encourage you, not only should you memorize Scripture, not only should you read Scripture and study Scripture, but it's important that you believe it too. Okay? Even if you don't understand it, you need to believe it. Okay? Understanding sometimes comes later. Usually only after you believe it does that understanding come. So I just want to encourage you to believe what Scripture says. Now also, we see in this passage of Scripture that Jesus had a great understanding of the Bible. In verse 46, it said, 3 days later, they finally discovered him in the temple, sitting among the religious leaders. In 47, all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. So Jesus knew how to think for himself. Okay? There were a lot of religious people in Jesus' day who taught the Scripture. But as we see in later on in Jesus' life, they did not interpret it correctly. And so many of the things that Jesus was learning from the rabbis and things about the interpretation of Scripture, they got it wrong. Okay? So children, I want you to understand this. Isaiah, Noah, Micah, Carson, all of you guys, Jacob, there's going to be times in school where they try to share things with you that are not, doesn't line up with what this says. Okay? And so you're going to have to make a determination whether you're going to receive what God says or whether you're going to receive what the world says. Jesus grew up with a biblical worldview. You and I grow up with culture trying to shape our views for us, and we need to have a biblical worldview. I'm thinking if Jesus believed in creation the way it was stated in the Bible, probably we ought to as well. Okay? I remember when I was in, I think it was the seventh grade. Did Charlie Howell teach the seventh grade? Okay. It was in seventh grade. And we had to do this timeline. And they gave us this, adding machine paper. And we had to put down, 100 billion years ago, there were dinosaurs. And then man came along, a billion years, I don't know. Whatever it was. I didn't listen to it very hard. So anyway, he was made the class do that, and everybody was to participate, and I wouldn't participate. Because it was just in my heart that this was wrong, and so I wouldn't participate. And Charlie Howell said, "Bradford, if you don't participate, I'm going to paddle you." And so I didn't participate. He took me out of the... We were meeting in a mobile unit at the time. Our school had burned down, so we were meeting in mobile units. He took me out of the mobile unit, and he paddled me, but I still didn't do it. Because I knew that I knew that I knew that I knew that it was wrong. I was probably about 13 then. How old is a 7th grader? 12-year-old? Something. Anyway, I was about in that age. But listen, you don't have to do it if it's not the right thing to do. Okay? And it's okay to get a bad grade if what your science teacher or other teachers are trying to tell you is contrary to Scripture. It's okay. All right? But that doesn't give you an excuse not to do good on your grades, okay? Don't come home every time you get a bad grade and say, "Well, my teacher told me." Okay, I thought I better just mention that. Otherwise, I'm not trying to give you an excuse. But there are times when you've got to stand for what's right rather than go along with the crowd. Because not always is the crowd right in what they teach. So Jesus knew how to think for himself. But he wasn't criticizing Scripture, but he was critical of the things that were being taught because they did not line up with Scripture. Okay, does that make sense? All right. So also, Jesus... So here's our problem many times with Scripture is that we began to overthink the Word of God. And we began to try to, somehow in our minds, try to rationalize things. And, well, Jesus didn't really mean this. So let me ask you a question. If Jesus didn't mean it, why did he say it? Why didn't he say what he meant? If he didn't mean what he said. Okay? So why would he give us things that he didn't really mean? And I'm here to tell you that he meant what he said. Okay? And so Jesus didn't in his study of Scripture, he didn't try to rationalize things. And I'm thinking too that sometimes even as a kid, there were things he read he didn't understand, but he knew that sometime that the Holy Spirit would reveal those truths to him. And as he grew up, the Holy Spirit began to reveal truth. Did you know that the Spirit is given us as a guide to all truth? So the best interpretation of Scripture is other Scripture and the Holy Spirit. Okay? If I read commentators and I read others who have written their notes on Scripture, but sometimes I'm thinking like, man, he's way off. I don't have to absorb everything that a commentator writes. I need to check it out with Scripture. Okay? And allow the Holy Spirit. Now, there are some times when I hear somebody preach or I'm reading something, the Holy Spirit says, "That's truth, that's truth, that's truth, that's truth." And so you not only have an open mind, but you've got an open heart to the Holy Spirit to be able to tell you what's truth and what's error. What's right and what's wrong. What's counterfeit and what's real. You need to know that. And the only way you're going to know that is getting God's Word. And Jesus had the witness of the Holy Spirit within himself, as well as the Word of God. He knew what was right. He knew how to do it. And he walked in it. So the next thing we see in this passage of Scripture is that Jesus' desire was to do the things that pleased his Father. He obeyed the father, even at 12 years old. It says his parents didn't know what to think. Son, in verse 48, why have you done this? Your father and I have been frantic, searching for you everywhere. But he says, why did you need to search for me? Didn't you know that I must be in my father's house? Or a better translation would be, didn't you know I would be about my father's business? Didn't you know that? Jesus was obedient to the Father. And Scripture says that he grew in wisdom and in favor with God and man. Okay? Did you know that Jesus didn't know it all? Seriously. Some people think that he was here on earth and he knew everything, but this passage of Scripture says that he grew in wisdom. He grew in wisdom. He grew in knowledge. He grew in authority. He grew in power. He grew in his relationship to the Father. He grew. And Scripture says that he found favor with God and man. Now let me tell you regarding wisdom. Going to kindergarten does not give you wisdom. Graduating high school doesn't give you wisdom. Graduating college or having a master's degree does not give you wisdom. Are you with me? Scripture says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And there are a lot of people with master degrees and doctorate who have no fear of the Lord. And Scripture calls them fools. Okay? You can get knowledge by going to school, but you can't get wisdom. How do you find wisdom? Trusting in God. What did you say, Miss Pam? From the Lord. In James chapter 1, verse 5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and God will give you wisdom. Okay? Have you ever needed a wisdom in a project? Did you think to ask for it? You know what? I'm always asking. Because I feel like I'm not very smart. And so I'm asking, always I'm asking. And sometimes God, after I ask, God will send me someone who knows the answer. Or he will lead me into some type of research so that I can find the answer. So, Jesus grew in wisdom. So the book of Psalms is a wisdom passage. The book of Proverbs, the book of Song of Solomon. If you want to get wisdom, begin to live in those three books for a while. Okay? Book of Ecclesiastes. Start living in if you want wisdom, ask God for it and begin to seek it out. Scripture says wisdom is more important and is better than all the gold in Fort Knox. That's my interpretation. Okay? That's not what it says, but you get the gist. Okay? Seek after wisdom. Seek after wisdom. Seek after wisdom. That's what Jesus did. He sought for wisdom, and when he went before the teachers, the rabbis, they were amazed at his wisdom. Here's the thing Jesus did. Not only did he read the Bible, not only did he memorize it, but he applied it to his life. He applied it to his life. And actually, that's where wisdom comes. I was on the streets of Mobile, Alabama one time while I was in college. And we were just doing some street evangelism, and came upon this fellow who had been an alcoholic. And we tried to share Christ with him, and every passage of Scripture that we began to quote, he started quoting it for us. He knew, he knew more than we, he started quoting things we weren't even aware of. Well, I wouldn't say aware of, but we had not memorized. He was quoting scripture, but he was an alcoholic. He was drunk when we met him. Did he have wisdom? No, because he wasn't applying what he had learned. We tried to share Christ with him, and he finally said, "There's really no hope for me. There's really no hope for me." In his mind, he had turned away from the Lord, and the Lord was not receiving him back. And so, I'm sure he's dead today. That's been, 30, 40 years ago? No, not 40. Yeah, about 40 years ago. But he had a lot of knowledge, but he didn't have wisdom. Jesus had wisdom because he not only learned it, but he applied what God said. Okay? So I'm hoping you get a flavor of who Jesus is, because we want to know him more. And we need to believe what he believed, right? And we need to do what he did. If we're his disciple, we need to follow in his steps. The last thing is that he grew in favor with God and men. I want to ask you a question. Are you growing in favor with God? Did you know that it's possible to grow in favor with God? How would you like for God to pour out his favor upon you? Here's the way you do it. If you favor him and you grow in favor with him, then favor will be poured out on you. Okay? The only way to accomplish growing in favor with God is by living for him, seeking him, walking in his ways, obeying him, overcoming fleshly desires, overcoming the enticements of the world, removing every obstacle that keeps you from fulfilling his desire. To love him, to serve him, to know him, to follow him, to honor him, to talk to him, to read his word. If he becomes your favorite, then you will be favored by God. So what is your favorite? Psalm 1 says it this way. Help me out, Larry. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sits in the seat of scorners. Man, I messed it up. We'll have to sing it. Ready? Help me out. Blessed be the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he does meditate. Meditate both day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth will prosper. Okay. Thank you. So that just shows you that singing it helps to memorize it. Okay, so it says, whatsoever he does, if you will do those things, whatever you do will prosper. If you do those things, you will be favored by God. Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but have your delight in the law of the Lord. So here's the deal. If you dig ditches, if you paint, if you run a company, if you flip burgers, if you clean houses or care for the elderly, but you keep your focus on the Lord, you make your heart a single focus, then you'll be favored by God.
That's right.
I'm not saying you have to quit everything in your work. What I'm saying is, let God be in your work. Let God be with you while you work. Keep a single focus. Keep your mind on Him. Don't get distracted with other things. Let God be God in your life. I guarantee you, if you will do that, then anything you do will prosper.
Amen.
Everything you do will prosper. Here's what I've discovered in my life. I used to be a people pleaser. But you know what I discovered? That when I was a people pleaser, I couldn't please anybody. Okay? I really couldn't. Everybody was mad at me. Because I tried to please people. But when I started trying to please the Lord, a lot of people were pleased. And those that weren't pleased, it really didn't matter anyway. Okay? So I want to ask you a question. Are you a God pleaser or a people pleaser? I didn't hear you, John. Well, you're in good company, brother. Let's be a God pleaser. Let's be a God pleaser. Make Him number one. Put Him first. And you'll be amazed at how others are pleased with you as well. Scripture says Jesus grew in favor with God and with men. Now, and you already know this, you're not going to please everybody. Okay? And particularly those, if you are a God follower, there are those that you're not going to please. And it's okay. It's really okay. I've had a few people come up to me and say some pretty nasty words. But you know what? That's okay. That's okay. Because I'm trying to be a God follower. So if you'll take out your card and your bulletin, there's some action steps there. And I want to ask you, I have neglected my scripture memorization for a while. I'm going to get back into that. I'm going to ask you, will you begin memorizing scripture? Will you believe God's word above everything else? Will you seek His favor? Will you determine to know Jesus better? Will you be a God pleaser and not a people pleaser? It's your choice. Okay? But sometimes we have fear in our heart that if I don't do something, something bad is going to happen. And I want to encourage you to be a God pleaser. Be a God pleaser. Be a God pleaser. Get rid of all fear of being a God pleaser. Get rid of the fear. Also, always, normally, probably always, I'm going to say always, there's fear attached to being a people pleaser. Okay? A fear of rejection. And so, get rid of fear. Seek the Lord. Someone once said, the world has yet to see what God can do with one man or one woman who is totally yielded to God. What are you going to do? I was sharing with someone this week, you know, I'm almost 60 years old, but I'm not going to coast to the end. I'm not going to coast to the end. I'm going to rev it up. Don't coast to the end. Don't do it. Don't do it. Father, I come before you today. I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for just Jesus' life.